All right, ladies and gentlemen, back again. All right, ladies and gentlemen, back again with another episode of the Mush Squad Podcast, episode 013, episode 13, just like Dan Marino's jersey number 13. And while we're on the topic of the Miami Dolphins, Garris, it's cool. First and foremost, how you doing, man? How you doing?
Okay. I mean, I've been better, but I can't complain. I mean, decent week.
All right, I'm going to go on a little bit of a tangent here. As you can tell, I'm a Dolphins fan, okay? As we all, anybody who has a phone or a television or who has been on the internet over the last 48 hours, we've all seen the controversy with Brian Flores. If you remember, Brian Flores led the Dolphins over the last 3 years as the head coach to the 10th best record in the NFL over the last 3 years. Obviously, he had that 7-game losing streak this week, followed with a 7-game winning streak, on the verge of the playoffs. Again, team working well together. A lot of young talent surrounding Tua, Jalen Waddle, Mike Gesicki, Miles Gaskin. And then obviously the defensive side, Xavien Howard, all pro safety. Yet again, a solid core to a team. What do they do? Chris Greer, the GM, they fire Brian Flores. And Brian Flores got with a lawyer over the last few weeks, I'm assuming, and he is suing the National Football League, the Miami Dolphins, the Denver Broncos, and the New York Giants. So if you haven't heard, Brian Flores was texting with his former head coach he worked with, another Bill Belichick protege, and Belichick thought Brian Flores was Brian Daboll and kind of told basically that Brian Daboll got the Giants head coaching job before Flores was even going to be interviewed, which leads Flores and pretty much all of the media to understand that Flores was just the Rooney Rule regulation interview. And the Giants actually had no intentions of hiring him because they already offered to Brian Daboll. Same thing happened with the Broncos back in 2019. John Elway and the front office there showed up wasted to the interview with Flores over an hour late. And the Dolphins, Stephen Ross, the owner of the Miami Dolphins, was being accused by Brian Flores of cutting checks to Brian Flores or attempting to cut checks to Brian Flores of $100,000 a pop for intentionally losing games to tank the season. So
ridiculous. Absolutely ridiculous.
I got some things to get off my chest. First and foremost, okay, if you watch the Mush Squad podcast, you know this is the cup I drink out of every week.
You know the vibes.
I'm over. I'm done. John. I can't do it no more. That's it. Big X on the mug. Big X on the mug.
Did you just write that X on that mug just now?
With a Sharpie, my boy.
Live and for the people.
Live and for the people. Stephen Ross is the abomination of a douchebag owner, a billionaire who doesn't know what's best for his franchise. He sided with the GM, Chris Greer, also a minority, okay, and decided that because Brian Flores didn't want to tank, we're going to fire Brian Flores. It was rumored that he didn't get along with Tua. So what? Tua had a winning record, had a great second year, stayed fairly healthy, and showed signs of improvement under Brian Flores. You go and fire him, and now you get all these allegations coming up. Stephen Ross, you got to sell the team. It's over. It's done. I cannot be a Miami Dolphins fan much longer and go through this shit. Okay? The running joke with all of us is that the Miami Dolphins, my favorite football team, is a shitbag organization. Okay? The group of us, everybody likes a different team. The Miami Dolphins are always in the gutter. What the Dolphins need to do? You need to clean house. You need to sell the team. You got to bring in people like the Manning brothers who are interested in ownership. Okay? The rumor is with the Broncos potentially going up for sale, Elway looking for an exit strategy to make a quick $400 million after the contract he signed as a player for ownership portion. But you got to bring somebody in who knows the sport of football to revamp the culture. It's done. Xavier Howard's not going to want to play there anymore. Obviously, Tua is where you're at right now because you don't have a top 10 pick this year. And I don't think you're going to draft another quarterback 2 years after you draft Tua. And what makes everything that much worse, John, is all these awesome names who are on the head coaching circuit right now. You have the Rams offensive coordinator, Kevin O'Connell. You have Mike McDaniels. You have Byron Leftwich, Kellen Moore. The Rams offensive coordinator, Kevin O'Connell, is going to the Vikings. He just can't make it official because he's still playing for the Super Bowl. You had McDaniels today, supposedly interview, but there's no confirmation that the interview actually happened. Byron Leftwich is almost a lock and key for Jacksonville once they fire Trent Baalke and bring in Adrian Wilson as the GM, which is the rumor that's been swirling for the last year. So what I'm trying to get at, and I'm going to end the ramble here because we got a lot of shit to cover, is the Miami Dolphins are and forever will be a shitbag organization. And I can't actively support this team much longer. I'm going to die of a fucking heart attack if I support this team any longer. So I'm not a free agent. That's a bitch move to become a free agent fan at the age of 32.
Yeah.
But I'm not going to be actively spending my hard earned money on Dolphins memorabilia and jerseys and stuff like that. So call me a fair weather fan. Call me whatever you want. I can't deal with this shit anymore. I feel like a Jets fan.
Now that's fair enough. And I think it's just temporary. It's not a forever type of deal.
I don't know.
Start doing making some moves that make sense for you, bring you back, persuade you back onto their side again. That's all it takes. That's all it takes to get the fan base going. But yeah, it's always a shame when your teams get brought up on stuff that's really not on the field related type of deal. Like, you never want to like have that type of stuff being brought out there, like as headline news in the sports world.
And you know, this shit is serious when this report dropped yesterday. The NFL dropped a statement immediately saying that it's not true. And they, you know, there's no supporting evidence. And then they walked back on that statement today saying, we're going to be looking into everything. So
yeah,
it's a shit show, bro.
And I'm pretty sure the Bill Belichick text messages that got leaked too is kind of all the evidence that you need that. The quote unquote Rooney rule, where you have to interview a minority, no matter what head coaching position or a head of football operations, GM position, that now it kind of just like throws a dark shade. Like, that's like a joke. And you just have to cross that out and like, oh yeah, we were going to hire Dable all along. And we're just going to talk to you just to bullshit with you. And then that's it. Just to say that we interviewed you.
And if everything goes, I don't want to say according to plan, but if Byron Leftwich does get the Jaguars job, 32 NFL teams, there will only be 2 black head coaches. It's not right.
It's definitely not right.
77% of the league is African American or minority. Exactly. And 2 out of 32 coaches are minority. Doesn't make sense to me. Anyways, I'm done rambling on that. Let's cover the conference championship weekends and give a little.
We could have talked about that subject for the whole episode.
I could still go. I got a battery in my back. I'm ready to roll. But yeah, conference championship, AFC conference championship, another banger. Bengals 27, Chiefs 24, overtime. That's the fifth straight game for the playoffs in the NFL. Fifth straight playoff game in a row, where it was a walk-off fashion, whether in overtime or a kick at the end or a touchdown at the end. Is the NFL scripting this? I mean, you can't write this any better.
I mean, coming from a strictly fan standpoint with no dog in the fight, this has been the most enjoyable last two couple weeks of NFL playoff football that I have ever witnessed in my entire life since I started religiously watching football, maybe in 98, 97, like these games have been off the freaking chain. Yeah, it's like, it's like no lead is safe. Everybody's playing their ass off, and it's just it's such good football.
Yeah, you say no lead is safe. The Chiefs were up 21-3 at home in Kansas City for the fourth consecutive year hosting the AFC Championship. Mahomes was on fire. He had three touchdowns in the first quarter and a half. But the Chiefs got comfortable. And talk about how, you know, they took the foot off the pedal and throttled down a little bit.
You know what? I think a huge turning point in this game was right before halftime when the Chiefs could have kicked the field goal, but they tried to get a little greedy and they tried to score a touchdown. And Tyreek Hill got stuck right at the 1 yard line and he didn't get in. That was a huge turning point. And kudos, I can't give them enough credit, but the Cincinnati Bengals defense in the second half and overtime gave up only 3 points. And now this is a defense with NFL castaways as starters on their defense. You got Eli Apple, who could never find a home anywhere, making fucking plays for them. You got Chidobe Awuzie, ex-Cowboy, who couldn't fit in with the Cowboys over there. Vernon Hargraves, Von Bell. Jesse Bates has been there a while, but even third round, fourth round draft pick. They got all these guys just making plays for them on the defensive end. And it's just, I mean, that's what happens. All these guys come together for a greater cause, and now they're in the Super Bowl.
Yep. Bengals took the lead, 24-21. The Chiefs tied it up right before the end of regulation, go to overtime, and Chiefs win the coin toss again. Last week, we saw them win the coin toss for overtime against the Bills, drive right down the field, score the touchdown, win the game. And what happens? Mahomes throws his second interception of the game in overtime. Bengals kick that field goal. Burrow, you know, didn't have a great day, 23-38, 250 and two touchdowns with a pick. Mahomes, 275, three touchdowns, but he had some mistakes. He threw those two interceptions. And then, listen, I'm never going to take any credit away from Patrick Mahomes and what he's available and able to do when he rolls out of the pocket, create more time, get away from the pressure. But he had four sacks for 40 yards loss. Especially there was one, I want to say, in either the fourth or in overtime where the Chiefs were driving. And it kind of just took the air out of the room for the drive. And they ended up having to punt. Mixon doing the damn thing on the ground, 21 carries for 88 yards. Jamar Chase had a relatively mediocre game for him. Still scored a touchdown, 54 yards. And then on the Chiefs side of the ball, they did everything they needed to do on offense until that second half. You know, Kelsey had a touchdown. Tyreek had a touchdown. But the Bengals turned it up a notch after halftime and gave up 3 points to the almighty Kansas City Chiefs in the second half. And the Bengals are going to the Super Bowl.
And it's crazy because you said Mahomes, they won the coin toss again. So immediately I'm like, oh, here we go. They're just going to march right down the field, go to the Super Bowl. It's going to be a huge controversy all over again about the overtime rules. But Cincinnati stepped up. I think he almost threw an interception on the first pass and then ended up throwing an interception on the very next pass anyway. So then it was like, since he had the ball already at the 50, he had to drive like 20 yards to really kick a field goal for McPherson. But can't say enough about Joe Burrow. Joe Burrow was under duress all game.
All game.
He was making plays, running, passing, stepped up when they needed it. And Zach Taylor, Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, Logan Wilson, Trey Hendrickson, like these guys made it to the fucking Super Bowl and everybody counted them out of every game.
It's crazy. You know, there have only been two professional football players who have won the national championship, the Heisman, and the Super Bowl. Joe Namath and Joe Montana. And it took them a majority of their career to do it. Joe Burrow is on the precipice of becoming the third person to do it in a 3-year span. That's fucking insane.
I've been saying it. I have been saying it the last 3 weeks. He's riding that high still from that LSU national championship game. And everybody sees the memes. Like, he's such a likable dude. He's such a funny dude. He's such a down-to-earth person. Like, he just gets it. It's such a good thing when, like, your franchise finds that guy to be the leader for their football team, that quarterback to be the leader. Because, you know, Joe Burrow, this is only his second year in the NFL. So, you know damn well Joe Burrow, second year in the Super Bowl, he's going to be around for a while.
Long time. Yeah, he even missed a majority of games last year with the knee injury.
Yeah.
You know, he's got less than 25 starts to his name. It's crazy. I've been saying it. I've been counting the Bengals out since the wild card round and just saying, you know, congrats to Cincinnati. Enjoy it. You can't get mad. I've been saying it for the last 3 weeks. Yeah. Every week they've been winning. So they're proving me wrong, and they're the AFC champions, and they're on their way to the Super Bowl. Who do they face in the Super Bowl? Well, that's going to be none other than the Los Angeles Rams, who beat the 49ers. I know you're happy about that one. Rams won 20-17. Yet another one possession game in the NFL playoffs, coming down to the wire. They hit the field goal to win the game. And you know, I'm really happy for Matthew Stafford.
Oh, absolutely.
The shit he went through when he was with Detroit, I think he still owns the record for most sacks in a season. He gets a bad rap for throwing a lot of picks, but besides Calvin Johnson, he hasn't had a name. You know, the Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones, maybe, they're not ones. But yeah, Matt Stafford, the Rams go all in the off season and continue making moves during the year, bringing in Von Miller, bringing in Odell. And you know, Robert Woods goes down for the year with the ACL. Bobby Trees, they call him around Los Angeles, and Odell slides right in and improves the position. It's crazy. But yeah, another one possession game. What are your thoughts on this Rams 49ers game?
I mean, I think the same thing. Matthew Stafford, it's about time. First year away from Detroit, and look at where he ends up. They have a crazy offense. Cooper Kupp has been arguably the best player in the NFL, period. And again, 11 receptions, 142 yards, two touchdowns, virtually unstoppable. It's every week in and week out, like, you game plan for them and they still are not able to stop them. And what's funny is that one play, I think it was Jaworski Tart, when he dropped the interception, that could have won the game for them. Kyle Shanahan again just can't protect the lead. They were up 17-7. And I don't know what it is with him, whether he gets too conservative, whether he starts feeling himself a little too much, but can't keep the lead, and then he just blows it again. But kudos to the Rams defense. The Niners run game was virtually non-existent in the second half. They didn't get to Garoppolo too many times, but I mean, they were still coming at him.
They did at the end with the last interception.
Yeah, that was like the first time they really put pressure on him, and that's when it mattered the most. But
and you know, you brought up Cooper Kupp, 11 receptions, 142, and two touchdowns. He set the NFL record for most receptions and most yards by a receiver in a season, regular season and playoffs combined this year. He broke, I believe it was Calvin Johnson at 2006 yards or 2004. So he broke that record. And he's still got another game to play. So he's only going to put it more out of reach, in my opinion. Talk a little bit about this head coach matchup we're going to be looking at. Two young dudes in the NFL. You know, we've been dominated the last 20 years, and we'll get to this a little bit more when we talk Brady later. But it's been Belichick, and it's been Belichick, and it's been Belichick in the Super Bowl for a majority of the last 20 years as a head coach. My man's in his 70s. I think he's in his 70s now. And talk about, you know, you have more of a finger on the pulse of the game of football, X's and O's wise, than I do. But talk about the Sean McVays and the Kyle Shanahans, although he's blown the lead a couple times now. But the youth, these prepubescent looking head coaches, it's crazy.
It's a great thing for the game, because you've seen when the playoffs first came out, they had Kyle Shanahan, Matt LaFleur, and McVay, all pictures of them all on the Washington Redskins football staff. And now it's just crazy how they all branched out to do their own thing. And arguably some of the brightest young minds in the game today, play calling wise. And it's just, it's such a breath of fresh air. And as a Miami Dolphins fan, you would hope that you guys could possibly get a next head coach that's the young mind up and coming in the NFL. Because it just, it shows that no matter what's going on in the game, I mean, Shanahan has his record for blowing leads. It is what it is. But you know they're going to make adjustments. You know they're going to give you guys good matchups. You know their scheme is going to be on point week in and week out. I'm so excited to see how McVay schemes for this game. Zach Taylor's really the unknown because not a lot of people talk about him. But
he's a McVay protege.
Exactly.
And he's older than McVay by like 3 years.
Exactly. And he's really not getting any credit. But for the job that he's done, I even before the playoffs even started, I gave him all the consideration for coach of the year for getting the Bengals to where they were.
Yeah, so it's going to be a good coaching matchup. We're going to break down the Super Bowl more next week, possibly bringing on a special guest to talk about some prop bets and some betting and gambling and stuff. But yeah, Super Bowl 56. After 54 consecutive Super Bowls, the last 2 years, the host team has been in the
Super Bowl. How crazy is that?
What's the chances of that?
It took so long for it to happen, and now it's happening back-to-back years.
Back-to-back years. So we're looking at the Cincinnati Bengals and the Los Angeles Rams at SoFi Stadium, which is the Rams' home stadium. Breakdown and coverage will continue next week on the Super Bowl. Last I saw, it was Rams -4. But again, numbers could be moving. Different books have different lines. But again, more on that in the near future, next week's episode. New coaches and GMs in the league. Giants, Joe Shane has hired Brian Daboll with the Giants. So Brian Daboll, the former Bills offensive head coach. We talked about that in the opening montage there. The Raiders have hired executive Dave Ziegler, who used to be in the front office for the Patriots. And he ends up turning around and hiring Josh McDaniels of the Patriots. So a winning franchise with a winning culture, taking two pieces, going to Vegas, and hopefully starting for that franchise, for that team, a new winning culture as well. What are your thoughts on those hires?
Daboll is a great freaking hire. I was so mad when I found that out. He's another one, a great mind, up and coming. It's his turn now to try to be a head coach. But you've seen what he did for Josh Allen, because when Josh Allen first came into the league, he wasn't anything near as what he is now. And then I heard a little bit of rumors that they might bring in Mitchell Trubisky, who was the backup over in Buffalo. He knows the system already. They're going to possibly sign him to a very cheap deal, bring him in, give Daniel Jones a little bit of competition, because, you know, a little bit of competition brings out the best in any athlete.
Oh, yeah.
So, I mean, that would be great for them. That was a huge splash and a great hiring by the Giants, unfortunately. And I mean, Raiders freaking got the freaking protege himself in Josh McDaniels. So I didn't even know he wanted to be a head coach again. I think he kept that under wraps for a while. Everybody thought that he was just going to take over for Bill Belichick once Bill Belichick retired, whenever that would be.
Right.
But hey, going out to Las Vegas, shoot, I don't blame him.
All right. So that'll wrap up our Super Bowl 56 talk. Let's jump around a little bit. Let's get through these segments. Stump 12. I got the cards ready. Three questions, all football. You ready?
Let's do it.
Question number one, the easiest of the three. Which football player made the immaculate reception for the Pittsburgh Steelers in a 1973 playoff win over the Raiders?
Franco Harris,
one for one, 12.
A.K.A. Jose Filippo.
A.K.A. Jose Filippo, friend of the show.
Shout out, Jose Filippo.
Question number two, a bit harder. There are names I'm going to read to you, though.
Okay.
Which of these NFL quarterbacks did not win the Heisman Trophy in college?
Okay.
Kyler Murray, Patrick Mahomes, Lamar Jackson, Baker Mayfield.
Mahomes.
Mahomes, 2 for 2, my boy. On fire. Here we go. Here we go.
The hardest one yet. Here we go. Here
hardest
we go.
One. Which undrafted quarterback threw a Super Bowl record 414 yards? I feel like I read this to you before.
I think so, too. Is it Kurt Warner?
Yeah, it's Kurt Warner. All right. Let me get another card. All right. Literally just pulled a random card. Here we go. Question number 3. 3 points. Hardest one.
Let's do it.
Which quarterback started and won Super Bowl 35 in 2001 only to be released in the off season?
Trent Dilfer.
Trent Dilfer. 3 for 3, my boy. You're on fire. You haven't got one wrong.
Just another day in the off.
Just another day. I wish we could be that good with the Mush Squad Bets of the Week.
I wish I could be that good at anything.
We'll talk about the Mush Squad Bets of the Week in a little bit. Tom Brady officially retired. We kind of hit on it when the Schefter report came out with Jeff Darlington. I want to say Monday morning it came out. And then he officially released something on Instagram yesterday. I mean, short and sweet for Tom Brady, the greatest professional athlete in a team sport of all time, point blank period. Thoughts?
Absolutely. And that's another one where it comes to the point where as much as you could hate him, or as much as you are a Jets fan, a Dolphins fan, Bills fan, like for as many times as you could hate the guy, you have to sit back and just respect his greatness that he was.
Hell yeah.
I mean, to do the things that he's done, to lead the NFL in every quarterback category, it's ridiculous. 7 rings, and you just have to respect it. Respect the GOAT. Football will never be the same. Football will never have another Tom Brady. And it's going to be weird not seeing him suit up next year. But, I mean, like all great things, it all always has to come to an end, unfortunately. But, I mean, it was definitely a privilege to watch him grow up. Honestly, grow up in the NFL from start to finish, basically watching him. And I'm definitely somebody I'm going to be telling my kids about and grandkids about.
Hell yeah. Yeah, the rumor was when he went to Tampa Bay, they were like, Tom, when are you going to retire? He goes, I'm going to retire when I suck. He led the league in
yeah,
yards.
Yeah, that's why everyone's like, what do you mean? You don't suck, bro.
No, it is what it is. Happy for him. I hope he enjoys his life. Stop terrorizing the NFL, please. All right. Patrick Ramsey, random athlete of the week, as always, brought to you by Off the Wall Donuts. Big shout out to John Emmett's, the Donut King, as always, and the Emmett's clan holding it down in donut world for us. This week's topic, John, I like this one a lot. I like this one a lot. I feel like we might have one or two.
We might. I only have three today. I only got three as well.
All
right. I think we might double up.
All right. Non-quarterbacks that have won the Super Bowl MVP. So 55 Super Bowls thus far. I want to say something like 17 or 19 are not quarterbacks. Let's run through it. I'll go first.
All right.
Easiest one first, and then we'll get to the harder ones. This running back had a career game in the Super Bowl that he was an MVP. 30 carries, 157 yards, and 3 touchdowns. We double up or are we good so far?
We good so far. I don't have any running backs.
Okay. Career stats, 7,607 yards, 60 touchdowns in the regular season, another 12 touchdowns in the postseason. He was a member of a team that won back-to-back Super Bowls. The first one, the quarterback was the MVP. The second one, he was the MVP. And the MVP season that he was for the Super Bowl, it was a 31-24 victory over the Green Bay Packers. Who is this man?
Is it Terrell Davis?
Terrell Davis. I salute. 1-0, baby. Good for you.
A dog. Absolute freaking dog.
A dog. He was MVP in 97 when they won the first Super Bowl. 2,000 yards rushing, almost 30 all-purpose touchdowns. And then the next year, they won the Super Bowl again. He was Super Bowl MVP.
Crazy. Another shorter career, but still a Hall of Famer nonetheless.
Yes, sir. All right.
All right. Here we go. My guy was the Super Bowl 40 MVP. His stat line in that game was 5 catches for 123 yards and 1 touchdown. Okay. When they beat the Seattle Seahawks, he's a 2-time Super Bowl champ, 4-time Pro Bowler. Any guesses?
Yeah, and I know who it is. Hines Ward, baby.
Yeah.
I was going to use Hines Ward. My favorite thing was, I'm going to reverse it on you here. Trivia question. Who threw Hines Ward the touchdown he caught in that Super Bowl?
Antoine Randle L.
And then
I was watching. I'm a fucking psychopath, bro. I just know all this fucking useless freaking football stats.
And then my other favorite thing, I was watching YouTube about Hines Ward in the Super Bowl. When he won Super Bowl MVP, you know what they say at the end? I'm going to Disney.
Yeah.
So this was Jerome Bettis's last year in the NFL. He won the Super Bowl.
Retired.
So he goes, Hines Ward, you just won the Super Bowl. What are you going to do next? I'm going to Disney and I'm taking the bus with me. And the two of them ended up going to Disney and they did the whole parade.
That's awesome.
All right. Second one. Ready?
All right.
This offensive player is a 3-time Super Bowl champion, one of which he was named MVP for his performance of 10 receptions, 141 yards, easily outshining all other players in this low-scoring Super Bowl matchup. He is the first Jewish football player to be named Super Bowl MVP, and his MVP came in Super Bowl 53 as a member of the New England Patriots, and I won a shit ton of money betting him plus 800 to win this Super Bowl MVP. Who is it?
Julian Edelman.
Julian Edelman. Shout out to Edels, baby.
Yeah, that he had some crazy ass freaking catches in that game.
10 receptions, 141. The rest of the offense for both sides put up 200 each. Crazy.
That's one of those Tom Brady games where everyone knew where he was going to throw the ball to and they still couldn't freaking stop
it. Still did it. All right, 2 for 2. All right.
My guy is the MVP of Super Bowl 50. His stat line was 6 tackles, 2.5 sacks, and 1 pass defended when they beat the Carolina Panthers 24-10. He's an 8-time Pro Bowler, a member of the NFL 2010 All-Decade Team. Who is it?
It'd be none other than the Cowboy himself, Mr. Von Miller.
Playing in another Super Bowl this year.
Another Super Bowl. All right, last one for me. Hopefully we don't double up. Defensive player.
Oh, shit.
All right. This defensive player and Super Bowl MVP was a 7th-round pick, 242 overall, out of a Pac-12 school.
Okay.
Through his career, he spent time on the Jaguars, the 49ers, the Raiders, the Seahawks, the Cowboys, and the Browns.
I think I know who it is already.
Who is it?
Is it Malcolm Smith?
Malcolm, son of a bitch.
I'm a fucking psycho, dude.
Let me finish reading the stats for the fans so they know why Malcolm Smith won the Super Bowl MVP.
Go ahead.
10 tackles, 1 pass deflected, 1 recovered fumble, and a pick 6 against the Broncos. That was the Super Bowl at MetLife Stadium. I was there. Yeah. Holla at me. That was a slaughter. That was a slaughter that year.
I think that was like right off the bat. They snapped it over Peyton's head.
Yep.
It was the first score of the game was a safety.
Yeah. Fun fact. So the Seahawks went back to back Super Bowls, beat the Broncos, and then they lost to the Patriots with the Malcolm Butler pick. In the Super Bowl 48, when Malcolm Smith was the MVP, he had that crazy stat line. In Super Bowl 49, he did not record a stat. No tackles, no pass defense, no sacks, no interceptions, no fumbles. Did not record a stat. That's crazy. Back-to-back Super Bowls, less than 12 months apart, go from Super Bowl MVP to not even sniffing the field.
And that's crazy because he's like one of those players that he just stepped up and just started making plays. They had all these studs on the defense, and he's the one that gets the MVP.
He's the one. Cam Chancellor had a pick. Richard Sherman had pass defenses. That was a defensive juggernaut, bro.
That was I used to love Cam Chancellor.
Hell yeah. Hell yeah. All right, you got one more, right?
Here's my guy. I mean, this is probably the easiest one out of all.
If I get it, we tie. If I don't, you win. So
all right. My guy was the MVP of Super Bowl 35 when they beat the Giants 34-7. His stat line was a very modest 3 tackles, 2 assists, and he two assisted tackles, and he blocked 4 passes. But he was known to just lead that defense. 7-time All-Pro, 13-time Pro Bowler, 2-time Super Bowl champion.
Hall of Famer.
Hall of Famer.
I think that was like a legacy award that year because as the heart and soul of that defense, which I'll argue is the best defense in NFL history.
Oh, absolutely.
None other than Ray Ray himself, Ray Lewis, Ray Tutta.
Exactly.
Ray Lewis. Hey, 3-3. We out here. We out here this
time. Yeah, that was a good one. You know who was the nose tackle for that team? Who was the nose tackle over there for that defense? New Jersey native.
Tony Siragusa.
Yes. The Tony fucking Siragusa.
Yeah, that team was crazy. And then Jermaine Lewis had the kick return to start the game.
Yeah.
Jamal Lewis was a
Jamal beast. Lewis. They had Jermaine, Jamal, and Ray Lewis. And
Ray Lewis.
Yeah, all the Lewises. Yeah.
Shout out that defense. That was Rex Ryan, right? Rex Ryan was on that?
Yeah, he was. He was part Ryan. Of that. He was part of that that defense.
That's crazy. As always, Patrick Ramsey, Random Athlete of the Week, brought to you by Off the Wall Donuts. @off_the_wall_donuts. John Emmets, if you're listening, we need some merch, my boy. That's the merch. We need some merch to push the product, okay? It's communion season right around the corner, okay? So we talked Stump 12. We did the Patrick Ramsey Random Athlete of the Week. We covered Tom Brady, the conference championships game. I did my two cents on the Miami Dolphins shit show organization. Last thing we got to talk about, John, and I'm going to pull the stats up because it's not good. Not good, my friend. The Mush Squad Bet of the Week. We are, what's cooler than being cool, as Andre 3K said? Ice cold. Okay. Our last 30 days, we're 1-7.
Oh, my God. I just threw up a little bit in my mouth.
All time, still a modest 16-11, so still up 336 all time. But at one point, my friend, after that, before that 1-7, we were 15-4. Okay.
Yeah. So I mean, it's getting back, but
it's bad. I don't think there could be anything that could save us. So what I'm gonna do this week is I'm gonna forego using any of my timeouts. I'm gonna take a knee. I'm gonna run a little QB draw here. I'm gonna take a knee, and we're gonna go into the half. We're still up. 15-11. Okay. But I will not be making a Mush Squad Bet of the Week.
I respect it.
With that being said, I know you're going to make one. You got a little something to share.
Yes. I respect it. But a lot of the times, I think it's a proven stat that as a gambling man, if you still feel like you're never going to win a bet, that's exactly when you're going to start winning bets. So this is my pick of the week, and I'm gonna switch it up. No football this week. You got the Pro Bowl. Can't bet that shit whatsoever. But Pac-12 aficionado myself. Basketball, football. So I'm gonna take it to the hardwood. Washington State is coming to Stanford tomorrow, Thursday. What's tomorrow's date? The 3rd of February, 9 p.m. start. And I think they're even matched teams. For whatever reason, Stanford is +2.5 at home. Okay. Stanford's a pretty good home team. Like I said, 13-7 going against 12-7. And I don't understand that spread whatsoever. And I think Stanford's going to win straight up.
Okay.
But give me the 2.5 just to be sure.
We'll take the points. We're going Stanford +2.5 tomorrow night. Thursday, the 3rd, 9 p.m., probably somewhere on ESPN or Pac-12 Network. We'll get it out on our Instagram. Speaking of Instagram, last thing we got to talk on before we have some wise words for Mr. LeBron James. We are still running our giveaway.
The crucial Don't forget.
We're going to give it away on Super Bowl Sunday. We'll pick our winner. Got a lot of entrants so far. Shout out to the squad, people following us. We have links everywhere. We have podcasts everywhere. Apple Podcasts, Spotify Podcasts, YouTube, Instagram. We're on Facebook now. We got the Twitter active. So just follow us somewhere and follow us everywhere. Like, subscribe, follow, comment, and interact with us. That's what makes this.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Last words for LeBron, John.
LeBron sat out. Like, I thought he was going to play today against the Trailblazers because they are starving for a freaking win. However, he's sitting out his now fourth game due to knee soreness. I don't know. I'm sick of it. Everybody that knows me knows I'm sick of it. Why even make it to the playoffs at this point? We have no draft picks. There's no hope anytime soon unless we trade our whole team for a whole new team. But, I mean, I'm a ride with him. We'll see what happens. We'll see what happens. I unfortunately watch majority of the Lakers games that are televised or even on NBA League Pass. And I texted you. It's like watching a car wreck. You just can't look away. But we'll see what happens.
We'll see. That wraps us up for Mush Squad Podcast Episode 13. I'm at Joe McGrath 89. He's at I am number 12. And we are at Mush Squad Podcast. Peace.
Yeah.